It is the first workday of a Republican-controlled Congress with a Republican running the executive branch. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The White House is listing a meeting this morning between President Trump and some corporate chiefs. Details were scant earlier in the day, but according to the news agency Reuters, Dow Chemical's boss was supposed to have been there. Whirlpool, Under Armour, International Paper. A photo ahead of the meeting also showed a seat at the table assigned to White House Chief of Staff Steve Bannon. Among promised early moves from the White House, international trade. Meetings are in the works with Mexico and Canada, perhaps as early as this week. For more on this, we're joined by Marketplace's Sabri Benishour. What may be some early moves here, Sabri?
Well, from speaking with trade lawyers, former officials, here's what they think is going to happen. They think the administration is going to go after stuff in NAFTA that not a lot of people really are thrilled about and wouldn't be a big deal if they were changed. Low-hanging fruit.
Like what?
So things like dispute resolution panels. This is where if you have a company in a country fighting over some rule or other, they sidestep currently the U.S. court system and go into arbitration. We'd probably see that change so these kinds of disputes can get handled in U.S. courts. We might see changes on what are called rules of origin. This just means how do you keep track of what is a Canadian good versus a Chinese good that's trying to sneak through Canada to avoid paying tariffs. Interestingly, a lot of this stuff has already been done as part of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership that Trump campaigned relentlessly against. Trade experts I talked to say the administration may well end up just taking this stuff out of the TPP and slapping a label on it that says renegotiation of NAFTA.
Now, something else in flux may be, of course, China policy. The promise has been a hard line on China when it comes to trade, putting America first, as Mr. Trump said in his inaugural speech.
Yeah, and two Trump advisors have a lot of experience in trade litigation, going after Chinese companies in steel or textiles with tariffs. So they may well, encourage more of this sort of thing. One interesting thing to note, though, is that up until this point, we've put these kinds of tariffs on only about 4% of U.S.-China trade. And that 4% has been in industries where China can't retaliate because, we don't sell a lot of steel in China. Once we start going after them in other industries, that is where they can start titting for tat, going after Apple, U.S. car manufacturers, et cetera, who do a lot of business in China.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishour, thank you. A lawsuit to be filed in federal court in New York today accuses President Trump of violating the U.S. Constitution by not divesting from the companies he owns. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is following this.
Perhaps you've heard the catchphrase emoluments clause. That's the part of the Constitution that says U.S. officials can't take money from foreign governments. Zephyr Teachout is a law professor at Fordham and part of the legal team suing Donald Trump. She says his companies receive all kinds of payments from foreign entities.
Just for one example, the largest tenant in Trump Tower is effectively the Chinese government.
That tenant is the government-run Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. Its lease is up in 2019.
The Chinese government has the power to make Donald Trump richer or poorer.
President Trump has yet to divest from the Trump Organization, although his children are now running it. The plaintiff in the lawsuit is a liberal organization called CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Some have argued that the emoluments clause doesn't apply to presidents or that payments to corporate entities could be excluded.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. The person who wants to oversee one of the biggest budgets in government awaits confirmation. The Department of Agriculture's budget runs close to $140 billion in a single year. President Trump's choice for agriculture secretary is Sonny Perdue, the former governor of Georgia. Marketplace's Annie Baxter is following this.
A lot of people in agriculture cheered Trump's pick of Sonny Perdue to head the USDA. Bob Young, chief economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation, is among those in favor of Perdue.
Gentleman has a long experience in agriculture. He has run businesses, on farm inputs, on fertilizer sales, for example. Also run a business basically set up to promote trade of agricultural products.
Young says Perdue will be a strong voice for trade in the new administration at a crucial time. On his first day in office, Trump indicated the U.S. will back out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, which would have boosted U.S. farmers' exports to Pacific Rim countries. Bob Young says the TPP could have increased U.S. farmers' profits by as much as $5 billion.
Now that we're acting like we don't like it at all, Where do we get that replacement for that $4 to $5 billion in income?
And Trump has threatened to impose tariffs on imports from China, potentially riling an important trading partner. That worries Spencer Attell. He's an organic dairy farmer in Maine.
When we talk about slapping tariffs on people, when they actually hold a lot of the cards in the trading equation, is a little silly.
Attell hopes Perdue will help on that front, too. Sonny Perdue will also be an important voice as Congress starts writing the next farm bill this year. It sets food policy every half decade. About $130 billion of the last farm bill went to things like crop insurance programs and commodity price supports, which offset farmers' losses if crop prices plunge. Some economists say farmers shouldn't get that special help. But farmer Kirby Hetfer in Minnesota thinks the safety nets are crucial. Prices for his corn and soybeans are down dramatically from a few years ago.
It's pretty tough to show a profit. The financial strain on the industry is more than it has been in the past number of years.
Farmers are also eager to have Perdue advocate for their labor needs within the administration, as many rely on immigrant workers and don't want the supply of workers cut off. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And Samsung of South Korea looked into why their phone batteries kept catching fire, leading to a very expensive recall. The data is in, and the company can now confirm it was the batteries, not the surrounding hardware, not the software, not sunspots, not distortions from the mainstream media. It was the batteries, a design flaw in one and defective welds in the other. Among Samsung's promised changes, allowing battery suppliers to talk back to Samsung if they think new designs are unreasonable or ridiculous. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.